All right, well, we're going to hop on real quick with Jerry Haas, Wake Forest head golf coach. And Jerry, man, you guys have had a pretty decent fall, haven't you?
We had a real nice fall. Been some young guys stepping up for us and playing well, and it always makes you excited as a coach to see their development, especially at a young age. We've got a great mix of players. Had the North Carolina Junior Player of the Year, Eric Bay, just win his first college event last week, so good way to end the fall for the Demon Deacons.
Yeah, it's got to be one of those things that, you know, you've had a couple close calls and some strong finishes in other events, and it's got to feel good for you and the boys to seal the deal and kind of take a little bit of a winter break in terms of the schedule, but certainly not in terms of the practice.
That's correct. I mean, it's turned into a 12-month-a-year job now for these kids, and once you get a little success, you want to get more, and so they will continue to work hard, especially in the weight room and in the, in the classroom, obviously. But they will be one of the teams to watch for in the spring if they continue to work. And as we know in this game, if you don't, there's somebody else working harder, and they'll continue to pass you. So, but success breeds success, and once you get a little bit, you can't wait to get some more.
Yeah, so over your career as a golf coach, you mentioned the 12-month the cycle, the weight room. What has changed? I mean, you know, let's just say, 15 years ago, we weren't that as concerned with the weight room and stuff like that, were we?
No, we weren't. And I'd say the thing that's changed is it's kind of been generational. The young person today wants the immediate feedback. They want the immediate success. And as we know in this game, you don't get it. It's golf's very fleeting. You kind of have it one week, and then the next week you don't have it. But over time, if you do all the right things and you keep stretching and you keep working out and you keep working on the areas of your game that are lacking, I guess, if we will use that word, that identify what you need to get better at, and you keep working on those, you still might not be as good at them in a tournament, but you may be a little better. And the more you work on them, eventually they kind of creep in and they become one of your strengths.
So when you start talking about, as the coach, setting up a schedule, I mean, do you guys have some set tournaments that you play in, or are you guys always kind of maybe looking to fill one or two, whether it's in the fall or in the spring? And how do you go about setting up the schedule? Because it was funny, Matt and I were talking about it. I think people underestimate the grind of a college golfer in terms of, you know, I mean, you're generally not playing maybe but one home tournament, whether it's in the fall or on the spring. So these guys are on the road a lot, and how does that impact their academic schedule and taking tests and making up tests and all that stuff?
It's very difficult. I've often said the college golfer misses probably more than anybody, because you have to practice, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day if you want to get any good. And then on top of that, you have to go to study hall. You have to study. You have to have a wife. You have to work out. There's a lot that goes into it. And you're only allowed to play 24 playing days a year in college. So most coaches will use about 10 or 12 days in the fall and then about 10 or 12 days in the spring to get your 24 days. So as far as scheduling goes, you have to look at your team and say, you know, we're going to be pretty good next year, or we're not going to be as good. And they've changed the rules recently where you have to have a 500 winning percentage, meaning if we go to an event like we did last week in Alabama and there was 12 teams there and Wake won, we were 11-0. It's always one less than the number because you can't beat yourself. So we were 11-0. The team that finished second then was 10-1 and down the line. So at the end of the year, you have to have a winning percentage over 500. So we had a really nice fall. We were 56-8. And our 8 losses were to very good teams, highly ranked teams. So that's why we have a nice ranking so far this year. So it's tough scheduling. Every team's about the same. You're about one or two players away from not playing well, or just being mediocre. So your top players have to kind of step up for you every week.
Jerry, everybody knows that your brother is Jay and your nephew is Bill, but, you know, you were quite an accomplished player yourself. In fact, played really well on the 85 Masters. What was that? What was that experience? Can you share with our audience what that experience is really like when you get to play in that thing? It's amazing.
I think back to that week a lot. That was pretty neat. I got to play with my uncle Bob Golby in the practice round, and my brother Jay. We were the first to have three from one family to play in the Masters, and I stayed in the crow's nest with John Inman
really?
And Scott Verplank.
Okay.
And USGA at that time, they were real big on amateurism, and so they wouldn't let us stay there for free. They had to charge us something, and they had to charge us for our meals at the club, and I stayed there for a week. I stayed there for six nights. I ate every meal there, and my bill at the end of the week was $31.
No.
I think Augusta National just said, well, you know what? We're going to charge them $1 for a room.
There you go.
Charge $1 a meal.
That's a great story.
It was a wonderful week. And, you know, my uncle Bob Golby has done a lot for teaching my brother Jay and myself. And it's been a family business, so to speak, but it's one that I've met great people, and it's led me down some great roads that I look back in my life. It's been great.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. I know that you're dealing with your kid in a hockey tournament. I mean, how'd your kid get into hockey in North Carolina?
I thought it would be
Illinois. Is that Illinois upbringing, Jerry? Is that what that is?
That is a little bit of the Illinois side of me there.
I used
to play on the duck pond with the guys and stuff. So it was always really, really fun for me. I think it's the best sport going live in person. If you can ever go to a hockey game, I mean, it's action.
It's a blast.
Awesome. It is.
So what's the recruiting trail looking like for you these days? Not only has the preparation and the off time changed over time, but certainly the recruiting has changed a little bit, hasn't it?
Oh, it's, they're, changing some rules now where you have to be starting your junior year September 1st before you can come on a visit. So, for example, if a kid shows up at your university now and he's a sophomore, then you have to basically leave the building. You have to go somewhere else. You can't talk to him about recruiting. He can look around all he wants. So, in my opinion, they're trying to do that to slow down the recruiting, but what you're getting is less informed kids. They don't get to meet the coach. They just kind of go and look at the university, and then they go and look at another university, and then they still make an early decision. I know they're trying to slow it down, but it's just inevitable that kids are getting better at a younger age, and coaches are identifying talent at a younger age, and you're gonna have some programs and teams that just say, hey, I really like this kid. I know he's only 15, but I can just tell he's going to be really good. And they lock him in verbally, and hopefully they stay with that verbal commitment. And the other teams, like the teams that aren't ranked as high, if they sit back and wait, sometimes they can get some really good players because it gives a kid more time to develop. And as we know, at 15 or 16, they're just scratching the surface of their potential. They're not even close to what they might be as a 20 or 21 year old. So it's tough to identify. I've always said this: if you're 6'5 and 250 and you're going to be my tight end and you get to campus and you can't catch, well, I'm going to make you an outside linebacker or I'm going to special teams or something. But you recruit a golfer and all of a sudden he can't drive it on the planet, or he's got the chip yips, or something goes wrong, you're kind of stuck with him. You got to try to figure something out in those 4 years to maybe get some production out of him and still make it a great experience for him. It's still about the student athlete at the end of the day.
Yeah, I want to ask you real quick about the NCAA championship. Obviously, that's your goal to get to that and get into the match play segment of it. As a coach, when you start looking at these sites that they're going to, and some teams have had some definite success playing home games. How do you feel? Where do you stand on that? I mean, should like an Oklahoma State or somebody like that get a home game and have it played on their home course, or should we be looking at more neutral sites as we go forward?
Well, first of all, it's hard to find sites and people that'll host for that long, and a lot of preparation goes into it. It's sometimes easier for a host school, a university. I know Oregon won on their home course, Oklahoma State won on their home course, but at the same time, they both had really good teams. doesn't mean they wouldn't have won somewhere else. It's kind of like when they banned the long putter. You know, Adam Scott won the Masters, and then Webb won the U.S. Open, and there's just a lot going on. That people are doing really well with the long putter, so all of a sudden they thought they should ban it. So my only complaint, if it is a word I can use, is that they have it 3 straight years at the same place in Arizona. So that to me didn't make much sense. But I guess in some people's mind, and it's done, it's already, they got a place to go, and they're excited to host, and it's up to the teams to kind of figure out that course and figure out if you got a team that can play there.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, man, we always love having you on. I hope you have fun watching some hockey. Good luck to your son playing in the tournament, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
I appreciate it. 4-2 victory last night, so on to the second round, which is good.
Good for you, Jerry.
There you go. All right, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.